our story, our future. We're in our second week of our story, our future, and today is our offering day. So we've got these cards on your chairs. And what we're going to do is, at the end of the service, we're going to have time to fill them in. So we're going to leave time, and then after that, we'll put them into the offering. But I just thought I'd mention them before I even start my message, so that you just have that in your mind. Our story, our future, as I mentioned last week, is really about investment into our building fund. But it's not just a building fund. It's really a story of faith. It's called our story, our future. And it's connecting our lives as the church to what the future looks like. We are where we are today because of what has been done in the past, and the story continues. And even long after we've left this place, the story will continue. So our story, our future. So our theme this year, as I mentioned last time, is City of Refuge. And our key verse is from Numbers 35, verse 9 to 15. But I'm just going to focus on 9 to 12 this morning. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly.'" So what we have here is a setup. God set something up such that there were clearly identified and accessible places to which those who were in danger could flee and find protection. And this year, with our story, our future, we're invited to consider how our church buildings support a similar spiritual mission. Building a visible, welcoming, and enduring church where people can run to the Lord Jesus and find hope. So in 1994, I think I've shared this before with some of you, but I have to repeat it for this context. In 1994, I was in secondary school. And I was a class prefect. No, I was a prefect. Yeah, I was a prefect, and I was supervising. I don't know if they do it the same here, but when you're a prefect, you have to supervise the students in the afternoon, make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you sit at the front of the class like a teacher. And a strike broke out. Now, I had no idea that a strike was coming, but most of those kids knew there was a strike coming. All I know is I was sitting there behind the desk, monitoring who's doing their work, and all of a sudden, the glass broke because someone threw a brick through the window. Then there was a banging of desks. Then there was yelling, and all of a sudden, all the students stood up. And there was chaos. And they started running out of the classroom. And I remember standing on the corridor and seeing all the other students from the neighboring classrooms. Everybody is looking around. And the duty teacher just looked at me and just said, "Just let them go." And it was just, you know, really like a puzzling, chaotic moment, especially because I didn't know exactly what was going on. Next thing, we were next to a mall, main mall. There were people running. There were kids with sticks, kids with bricks running towards the main mall, people pushing each other. Found myself in the middle of the main mall. Then there were police, there was soldiers, helicopter. It was really, really bad. And myself and a few girls decided to run to the one place that we thought we would find safety. And it was the Roman Catholic Church that was right there in the main mall. And in there, we settled, we found safety. I think we were there for a few hours. I don't know how many. But it was one of the scariest moments of my life. When we hear the story that I've just read from Numbers, we know that these cities existed because there were circumstances in which somebody desperately needed somewhere to go. And that gives us two really powerful ways of thinking about the people who come through our buildings. I want to talk to you this morning about what I call away from motivation and towards motivation. Away from motivation. Running from something unpleasant. What are people running from? What were you running from that landed you in the house of God? You may or may not relate, but think about that. What were you running from, if anything? Away from motivation is about the spiritual mindset that I need to change my life because my current path is not working. It's no longer safe. I need to get away from these circumstances. And a lot of people who end up in the house of God are running away from something. For some, it's guilt and the weight of past sins. Some are fleeing a life of addiction, emptiness, broken relationships. They're seeking refuge from fear. Fear from the unexpected. Like things breaking out unexpectedly, a strike during an ordinary school day. Like a time of confusion where glass goes through the window. There's banging of desks and you don't know why. Everybody yelling. Away from motivation provides a very powerful, urgent wake-up call that forces someone to seek God for immediate rescue and peace. People should be able to come through the doors of the church and discover that they don't have to pretend here. Because it's safe. They don't have to have everything together. And they can encounter a living God. Something different from what they've experienced out there. The church cannot prevent every storm from happening outside there. But it can become a place of refuge. And our buildings allow for that to happen. I'm building a picture here of the idea that this is not just a building. It represents something much more significant, something much more powerful, much more significant. Then there is towards motivation. So we've just been talking about what you are moving away from. People are moving away from something into the house of God. But towards motivation is about running towards something. So what are people running towards? What pulled you to the church of God? Not just what you were running from, but what was it that landed you in the church and not somewhere else? Why are you here this Sunday morning? Why do you keep coming here every Sunday morning? Why is it important that you are here? For many, this is really driven by a deep desire for spiritual growth, for truth, closer fellowship with God. You're pulled toward a vision of hope and purpose. It's not like any other gathering. There's something unique towards motivation. The mindset here is that I want to know God intimately and live out his purpose for my life. And the belief is that the church is where I will find it. So people are seeking a deeper, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to the church. People are pursuing a community of believers to grow in faith together. They'll come to the church. They're striving toward the promise of eternal life. Some type of spiritual transformation, they'll come to church. That's what towards motivation is about. The danger of only understanding refuge as somewhere we run away to is that we can make the Christian life intently about escape. And that's what I really want to highlight. We don't just want to run away from something. We want to run towards something. And for some of us, we ran away from something a long time ago. But then we stopped there. We didn't go beyond that. We landed in the church. We landed in the building. But we didn't move towards anything. It just became a place of refuge. But it needs to be more than that. There needs to be a shift, not just stagnate. And only God can do that, bring that change in us. So the future of the church isn't simply come here because the world is bad. It's come here because there's something beautiful here. The Lord Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we just focus on running away from something, that's not rest, that's escape. Rest comes when we go beyond that. The church is called to be a visible and accessible place where the broken, burdened, and those who are spiritually desperate can encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be a safe place. And that's where you and I come in. Most of us have a story to tell. We have something that we have run from. We have a brokenness that some people have never heard of. We can't even talk about. But we have remained there. But when the Lord says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, it's more than just coming and escaping. It's about opening ourselves up to experience him, to encounter him. We run towards God's presence. And I guess my challenge for you this morning is, do you feel that you have stopped just running and you run towards him? When he says, come to me, when you are weary, when you are broken, when you are stressed, when you are worried, do you run to him? Or does church just become a place you come to on a Sunday and tick a box? Because if that's what it is, that's not what it's meant to be. It's meant to be more. Every single one of you that's sitting there, you've got more that is in you. There is more that God wants to use you for. There is gifts that the Lord has placed inside of you. But for a lot of us, we hardly step out of that space of the church is just a refuge. We have run away from something. We run away and we camp. We stay there. We become comfortable. We don't get out. You know, one of the things that I do sometimes when I've had a really exhausting week, I have a spot in the house. I actually went to Bunnings and I bought a camping chair. And that camping chair sits in our laundry cupboard. And I go there when I need to escape, not the world, but the house, the people. When I need to be by myself, and I just sit there. But don't you think it would be a problem if I just decided I'm going to live here now? I've escaped that environment. I need some quiet, but this is so comfortable. This is my new place. I'm not getting out. I think that will cause some problems for my family, for my work. And that's really what I want you to think about for yourself. Are you in a place where you escaped somewhere and you just camped and you got comfortable? And because you got comfortable, nothing else happens, but you feel comfortable. And you've decided that's where you're going to stay. So this morning, it's a challenge I'm putting out there as we look at our story, our future. Because our story means that we are building something together. It's not just my story, my future. It's our story, our future. There's a connection, there's a unity there. But in order for it to work, we have to recognize that we are the body of Christ. And every part of the body is needed. Every part is needed. I don't know, if you've ever broken any part of, you know, your finger. I don't think I have. But you know when you do something to a part of your body, that's when you notice how much it's needed. Right? It's the same thing with you and the role that you play, not just in this church, but in the greater work that the Lord is doing in the kingdom of God. I just feel to really hone in on the importance of knowing that you matter. The role you play matters. And as we are looking at our story, our future, and our buildings, it's important to know that even when you're filling in these cards, it's not just you filling in card and making a commitment to what we're going to be doing in the next 12 months. It's actually you acknowledging that what's happening here is partly because of my contribution, partly because of what I have decided to do, the part I have decided to play. So, some people will come to church because they need refuge. But our prayer is that after finding refuge, they discover more. They discover family. After discovering family, they find purpose. And after finding purpose, they can become refuge for someone else. The person that is sitting next to you needs you more than you realize. They may not have said, "I need you," but they do need you because we are all different and we all offer something unique. God made it that way, that we need each other, that the house of God needs you. The people of God need you. So I ran into the church. I didn't go there because I'd planned to have a quiet time like I have in my laundry cupboard. I went there because I needed somewhere safe in the midst of confusion. And in that moment, the church is what came to my mind. The church. And inside there, I found safety and I could breathe. Outside, there was fear, there was confusion. But I found safety in that place. I didn't fully understand it back then, but looking back, I realized something. I was running from danger, and I instinctively ran towards a place that represented safety. This represents safety. You know, even though we know that there's a lot that the world now has against the church, overall, the church is still considered somewhere to run to. That's why you and I are here. And that is what our buildings offer. Philippians 2, 9 to 11 says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We're talking about buildings, but ultimately, it's not just about buildings. It's not just about church and us gathering together as the people of God. It's about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was exalted to the highest place. And he's been given that name that is above every other name. That is ultimately the message. And that is ultimately what we want people to know. We want the world to know. And these buildings offer a place for people to come and experience that. Now, before we come into our time of giving and faith promises, I want to review a couple of slides that show how things have been in the last 18 months and how the funds from our story, our future, have been used. So this year's secondary giving initiative running over 18 months. So 1st of April to the 31st of August this year, the 1st of April 2025 to the 31st of August this year have supported our repairs and maintenance, ensuring that they remain places of refuge. So there's so many things we can thank, we need to thank the Lord for when it comes to our story, our future. We have built significant value in our buildings. So for the two church buildings, and that figure there, 4.8 million, that's the value of our two church buildings, this one here and the one in Kwinana. So Kwinana is not carrying a separate mortgage. So we'd not have two separate building loans. And that debt was absorbed into the Fremantle mortgage approximately 3 years ago. So the combined mortgage is 2.38 million. That means that the church has approximately 2.42 million in equity. So if we sold the buildings today for their current value and paid off the mortgage, there will be approximately 2.42 million left over. That is something to celebrate. And it's a reflection of the commitment that has been made over the years when it comes to our story, our future. People believe in what is being done and what's being built here. Some have been here for many years. Some have come in recent years. There are many more people who are going to come. And next year, when we're talking about our story, our future, they'll get to be part of what is happening. And so we also, back to the slide, the loan-to-value ratio is 49.6%. So basically, we own more than we owe. So banks consider this a very low-risk loan. So we are in a good financial position. We are more ahead than we are behind. That's a significant achievement and something worth celebrating. So our giving has actually been doing something tangible. Over the 18-month period, the church received $84,535 because of your generosity through our story, our future. And most of that has been spent, so about $82,458. And what has been, it's been spent on is basically repairs and maintenance. So the figures up there, $25,000 that you can see there has been what has gone directly to paying the mortgage principal, directly reducing the debt. So not paying into interest, actually reducing the loan. And then the $31,136, I think that will be in the next slide, or it's somewhere there. You can't really see it, sorry. But $31,000 has been used for maintenance in Fremantle. $26,000 has gone to maintenance in Kwinana, right? So that's where the funds have gone, the $84,000 that has been given. So we are not simply maintaining buildings. We're maintaining places where people can encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. We're maintaining buildings where families can gather. Children can grow in their relationship with the Lord, our kids' zone. Where people receive pastoral care, where people find community, where people find a place of refuge. So really, we're excited because what we know is that in the last 12 months, from August 2025 to July 2026, this was up to July, $60,265 is what had been given. So based on that giving pattern, approximately 60,000 over the next 12 months is what is projected. And the idea is that that will be, continue to be used on repairs, on maintenance, and on servicing the mortgage. So this isn't simply about looking backwards and saying, look what we did. It's also about saying, look at what is possible. Because of what is done, we are hopeful that there is more that is yet to come. So that's why we're always going on and on about you are a generous people. It's not to flatter you. It's to align you and say you are actually doing what you've been purposed to do. And we thank you for that. So could I please have the band, or part of the band, or maybe the keyboard player? What we're going to do now, in the last 10 minutes, is just come into our time of giving. But before we can do that, we've got to fill in those cards. So we're just going to have the keys playing in the background while we fill in those cards. Now, you may have taken some home and already filled it in. That's wonderful. But if you didn't, please take the time to fill in those cards. Like we mentioned last time, it's really nice when people give on the spot one-offs, but what we really want is an opportunity for people to faith promise over the next 12 months or however long, regular giving, because that helps the planning in terms of how we're going to do things. So we're going to just take some time for you to fill in those forms, and then I'll come back after 5 minutes and we will pray. Just gonna get the service team to just come around, and we're just gonna collect the offering. If you haven't filled in your card today because you need to still go, you know, talk to family or pray or whatever you need to do, please take your card with you and you can still give your card back to the office during the week or whenever. Thank you. You know, faith doesn't make sense. The things that we do, the steps that we take, the steps of faith we take, doesn't make sense. It's not logical, but it's not meant to be. And it can seem foolish. But you know, it's in the foolish things that God shows himself. And we recognize that, you know, for a lot of people, giving is a stretch. It's a stretch for all of us. But it's an opportunity to see God work differently in our lives. So thank you very much for your giving, your commitment. Acts chapter 2 verse 36 says, could you please stand up? It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. I heard something quite powerful this week that captured me about that scripture. We don't make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. You know, quite often we talk about we're making him Lord. We don't make him Lord because he has already been made Lord. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord. He is already Lord. So we're not choosing to make him Lord. We can't make him what he already is. What we're really choosing is whether we will submit. That's the choice that we face every single day. Will we submit to what God has already established? And in what you've just done, even in your giving, that's you submitting to something. Even though logic would tell you one thing, oh, I can't, I've still got that bill and I've got so much to, you still submitted to something. And God sees what you do. God sees the sacrifice despite the confusion, despite the fear about giving. So I just want to pray. I think Michael's your last Sunday here. Is there anybody else who's their last Sunday that we're not aware of, or you're leaving for a while? Maybe you just want to come up and we just pray for you, and then I'll finish off. So Michael has been around for how many years? In 2 years. Okay, yes. So Michael's going Port Hedland. Yes. So we just want to pray for him. Just bless him. So we just want to stretch your hands out. Father, we just thank you for Michael, Lord. We thank you that his life is in the palm of your hands. We thank you, Father, that he is submitted to you, Lord, that his heart belongs to you. And we just pray, Father, that as he goes to Port Hedland, that he would know that you have already gone before him, that your word says, I will be with you wherever you go. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the Lord your God. And so, Father, I just pray that he would go with that confidence, with that assurance, that no matter what happens in his journey, you are with him. You will never leave him. And his confidence is in that, that he is your son and you are his father. So I thank you for his life. I pray for blessings for him. I pray, Father, as he goes back to Port Hedland, that he would reconnect with the faith community, Lord, that he will not be isolated, Lord. And I pray even for his health, Lord, that continue to work in him. From head to toe, may you meet him, Lord, at his point of need. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, let us pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for our church community, Lord. We thank you. We love our church. We love our brothers and sisters. We love being part of the greater work of the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, that we are part of something bigger. And we thank you for our story, our future, that it is our story. Our story that is connected to our future. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and your mercy endures forever. Father, I pray that no matter what has led us, what we were running from, seeking refuge, no matter what that is, Lord, we're here now. Father, I pray that we would not be comfortable to just remain hiding, even in the church. May we not hide in the church. Father, may we not hide in the church. I pray that you may show every single one of us the places, the situations in which, where we are hiding. I pray, Father, that we would move towards the Lord Jesus Christ and what he truly wants to offer. Not just refuge for ourselves, but that we would learn, that we would be part of a community, that we would be teachable, that we would receive everything you want us to receive, that we would use our gifts, that we would connect with our brothers and sisters, that we would grow, that we would be discipled, that we would be open to hearing the word of the Lord. May we be people of faith that step out, not out of fear, but out of confidence that our identity is in Christ, that our authority is in Christ. And because of that, we'll plant seeds of faith in every space. May we be a refuge for other people. No more hiding. I speak against the spirit of fear in this place, because that is not from you, Lord. I cancel every assignment that the enemy has sent towards you and your family. I pray that whatever healing you need, may you step out in faith and seek those healing spaces. May you stop hiding. Fear is not your portion. Anxiety is not your portion. Step out in faith and watch God do what only he can do. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our story, our future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.